again today. Come and do what only you can do, Lord. Bring the life into your message. Open us up. Bind the things that block us from hearing you, Lord. We just want to lay down our life. We want to lay down worries and problems and attitudes, fears. I'm thinking self-condemnation, you know, where sometimes we just get down on ourselves. Discouragement and hopelessness, Lord. All these things, we just break agreement with them and we throw them aside and we just want to be wide open to hear your word this morning and to move into the spirit realm where truth is, God, that can set us free. So we put this time into your hands and we ask you to quicken your word into us, Lord. You said your word is like a sword that divides asunder spirit and soul, and we invite you to divide us, God. Speak truth into the spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you. O thou afflicted, that's our title today. O thou afflicted. Isaiah 54:11. 54:11 says, O thou afflicted, I will lay your stones with fair colors, and I will make thy windows of agates, and your gates of carbuncles, and all your borders of pleasant stones. God says, afflicted ones, depressed ones. To be afflicted means to be depressed, whether in your mind or whether by your circumstances, just feeling hopeless or needy or like, God, why is all this happening? Or what is wrong with me? What is going on in my life? And just maybe, so it also says, afflicted, tossed with tempest. There's confusion. There's trouble and not comforted. God said, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted. Why are we not comforted? And the word comforted, we always think of it as somebody feeling sorry for us and holding us and going, oh, my poor baby. Sometimes it is that, but that word, when I looked it up, also meant not coming to a place where you could be delivered, not even being repentant of what's keeping you in your misery. You know, so sometimes we don't get comforted because we don't come to the truth that will set us free. We either feel hopeless and we've given up, or we want to blame somebody else. You know, blaming keeps us away from healing, whether we're blaming others or whether we're blaming ourselves. Blaming is like a condemnation spirit. When somebody does something to us and then we respond poorly, we want to just keep saying, well, if they hadn't done that, I wouldn't be here. If they hadn't done that to me, I would be fine. If not for them, and we'll never get healed. But we also can't get healed if we keep going, well, this is just how I am and I can't change. I'm just hopeless, you know. Once we see ourselves as hopeless, we also can't get healed. Because those spirits, any spirit, any negative spirit, any wrong spirit we come in agreement with, blocks us from hearing God. And sometimes we think of iniquity like murder or stealing or lying, and yeah, that's sin. But if God, the word says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Well, it's iniquity to regard depression. Depression is an evil spirit. Well, we have proven that over and over, because somebody can come to you completely, hopelessly depressed. And if you can get them to say, do you want to be depressed? No, I can't help it. But do you want to be depressed? No. So if it is a spirit, are you willing to say, depression, you're not going to live in me, get out? Yeah. And then they pray that, and within minutes, everything changes. You see, if it was just you, just your circumstances, and you really can't help depression, you couldn't get rid of it like that. But it proves that it's an evil spirit, that when you call it what it is and tell it to get out of your life, suddenly you don't feel that way. So that proves that it is a spirit and it can be rebuked. The same thing with many, many things that bring us into negativity, hopelessness, self-condemnation, doubt. All these things, if they're not God, then they are the other spirit realm. And you can rebuke them off you. God wants to take us to a place where we have a faith that doubt will not attack, that doubt cannot stand, because we recognize when the doubt comes and we say to it, you're not going to live in me. I'm just going to hang on to what God said. No matter how long it takes, no matter how difficult or impossible it looks, we serve a God of the impossible. And the funny thing is, he likes to make it look impossible before he does it. That's just the way he works, because he's testing our faith and strengthening our faith. You see, if God said, I'll pay the rent. You know, Harvey used to do that little, you put your bow, you know, who'll pay the rent? Then you put the bow on your, or you put the bow on your head and go, who'll pay the rent? And you put it on your neck, I'll pay the rent, you know. That little, who's going to pay the rent joke. Or you say that to God, who'll pay the rent? You know, and God says, I'll pay the rent. But the rent doesn't get paid. And you get down to the day that it's due and you still don't have it. And you get down to 3 days late and you still don't have it. Well, God, I thought you said you wanted me to live here and you were going to pay the rent. And you get down to 5 days late and God pays the rent. And you go, oh, wow, I just learned that even though he didn't do it on the 30th or on the 1st, he did it by the 5th. I can trust God. He did pay the rent. I'm not evicted. Well, then what happens when he didn't pay the rent and you got evicted? Your faith got stretched a little further. Well, God, I thought you were going to pay the rent. And the answer comes, I am, but not on this house. I want you to move. See, God always has a way that what he said is true, but at the moment we're in the testing, we're going, there's no way it could be true. There's no way what God said to me can be true. Because look at the facts in front of my face. We just don't know. One of the things I want to get to in this Isaiah where we're reading is that we have to transfer everything we are, think, believe, and do to living in the spirit realm. There is another life, an invisible realm, kingdom of God, where everything is different, and that's what's real. What's here is not. What's here is not what's real. What you see, think, and feel here is not based on truth and reality. It's based on physical and emotional. But it's not the realm of God. It's not the realm of the spirit. It's not the kingdom of God. So we can't live in that kingdom of God until our thoughts become his thoughts. We come in unity with God. And what God says is true no matter what we see, think, or feel. Yesterday, God had me hand verses. Little Emelina went in and had both kidneys removed, and she's 3 years old. We believed that she would never do that. We believed for the last year that God was going to heal her because he said he was going to heal her. The day I met them a year ago, and we were in the waiting room, and I kept asking God, what do we say? What do we say? What do we say? And God said, tell her I'm going to heal Emelina. So I told her that. And Mersada drops down on the floor weeping and thanking God, thanking God, thanking God. Well, Emelina didn't get healed that week. She was still in the hospital. And God told me to have her mom call me every day for a long time. Every day, God would give me verses to tell this mother. I would say, go look up Luke and look up this verse and look up this verse. We went through this time where she and her husband were walking into a Catholic church nearby the hospital and giving them all the money they could give them, thinking they could buy God to get him to heal the baby. We had to break that. Then it was she was calling me and I was going to get God to do it, you know. And we went through verses that everyone who got healed came to Jesus. They came to Jesus. It's him. And she transferred all of her faith onto Jesus. And we went through all these verses. And the point was, God wanted to heal Emelina, but he wanted to bring this family into salvation. What good is it for Emelina to grow up with good kidneys and go to hell? He wanted this family to be saved. Well, during this past year, Mersada, the mom, has come to Jesus. She loves him. She trusts him. So I thought, okay, God, now with my logic and thinking with my thoughts, now you can heal Emelina. She's not going to go in that surgery because there's no reason now. You know, the mom came to Jesus. She went in the surgery. They took out both kidneys. She doesn't have a donor. She'll be healing for 6 weeks while we pray they find a donor. And if they don't, her dad's going to give up a kidney and they're going to put an adult kidney in her. So why? God, you said, didn't you say you were going to heal Emelina? Why isn't Emelina healed? He didn't say how. He didn't say when. He didn't even say this side of glory or the other. We don't know. But what we do is we walk with God long enough that when God says something, we learn to believe Him no matter what we see. God is going to heal Emelina. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know why not yet. But I say now, God said He's going to heal Emelina. So He's going to heal her no matter what we see. I've already imagined, okay, fine, they take out those toxic kidneys, now God can make good ones and put them in there. Or what if Emelina dies? I am going to be saying, God, do we let her die or do we go in and command life to come back? What if they bury her? Well, we know somebody in the Bible, Lazarus, was buried 4 days and then Jesus raised him from the dead. Is our faith at a place where we could go out to the cemetery and call the dead to get up? If God said so, or would we just sit back going, that's got to be my imagination. He doesn't do that anymore. He's going to do that. Someday He's going to do that again. Because when He stood by Lazarus' grave, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And though someone were dead, yet shall he live. And Martha said, God, I know, in the day when you come back and you open all the graves and the resurrection happens, then we're all going to get up out of the grave. And He said, if anyone believes, I am the resurrection and the life. And He said, and if anyone believes that, who's living, they should never die. Now that verse has just tangled my brain for years. We don't have to die. And the dead can get up. Where's our faith for that? That day is coming. That day is coming. But how do we get a faith that raises the dead? How do we get a faith that stands against the spirit of death and says, get out of here, you're not taking anybody? How do we get a faith that can believe that? Who's going to pay the rent? And we test that to be on time. And then we test it for 5 days. And then we test it to mean I had to move. We test it with little steps of faith. And our faith grows as we learn to believe what God says. And we get a relentless faith that says, I don't care what I see. God said it. Done deal. So God wants us to have that kind of faith. But back to her running her healing. Oh, thou afflicted, depressed, troubled, confused, or hurting. Why? God does not want us to live in that condition. God never comes along and says, well, now you've really irritated me. You have sinned to the point that I think you deserve to suffer for a little while, and I just want you to be miserable. You know, you need to feel guilty because you are, and I think you ought to just go beat yourself up for a while. Maybe you should join that church, you know, where they take whips and beat their back and punish themselves, you know, because that's what you got coming. He doesn't want us to live there, so why do we live there? Because we don't believe the truth. We don't believe the truth that He's taught us by faith. And what does He say to this person who's depressed, who's giving up, who's confused, who refuses to be healed? What does He say? He says, behold, look at this, listen to this, hear me. I will lay your stones with fair colors. God wants to build your life like constructing a building. He says, I want to make your life like a building of beautiful jewels. And you know, every color of a jewel, every kind of a jewel has a different purpose. God Himself calls Himself a diamond. They say He sits on the throne like a grand jasper, and the word jasper meant diamond. A diamond is the very hardest stone. It's the most transparent, multifaceted, brilliant, and that's where the rainbow above His throne. You watch the colors that reflect off diamonds. In the morning, crystal, the sun hits it, rainbows all over my house. So God is a diamond. And then He talks about different stones. And He says, I'm going to lay your foundation with sapphires. A sapphire is blue. And it's got like a star in the middle that shoots out, you know. But blue is a color of peace. It's a color of peace. He wants us to live from a foundation of peace. He says, if you'll trust me and believe me, you will be able to live in peace. Then He said, I'm going to build your strong foundation with solid rock. What do you call that? I guess that was sapphire. He said, I will make your windows out of agates. Agates are represent a striking fire, like maybe a ruby. And a ruby is a color of, there's a color of revelation. Now, I don't know if everybody gets the same colors, but I'm a painter, so God deals with me in color. And some of the books I pick up, and they go, this color means this. Sorry. But there are so many shades of red. There are so many shades of blue, so many shades of green. You can't grab green and say green means growth. Because what about all the other shades of green? Only one shade of green means growth. But there is a color close to a ruby. And I think this is what he's talking about in the window. And that color that is very, very deep, 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 similar to ruby color, but very, very dark, is the color of revelation to me. So God said your windows are made out of rubies. Your windows are made out of the color of revelation. Now, revelation has to come from God letting you see what can't be seen, telling you what's coming. You're looking out the window of your life, and you see what's coming because God reveals it. You look out the window of your life through the eyes of revelation, and you believe what God says. So I love the ruby being the window. That's just really awesome. And it's also the color of fire, and it talks about it being a fiery color, and that is also repentance. Without repentance, we don't get revelation. Because as soon as we're hanging on to sin, all of our thought system and emotions come back down to the physical plane, and we no longer can see into God's realm, can't hear into God's realm. We can't live in the kingdom of God, the realm of the Spirit, once we have anything blocking us. So we need windows of this beautiful red color. We'll also be able to allow God to look at us with revelation through this window. It's allowing God to look deep inside of us and reveal what's really there. Another thing about this revelation is it reveals to us what God is doing, not what man is doing, but what God is doing. I just love the discernment, the revelation, when God will tell you who somebody really is, and they may be acting horribly different than what God is showing you. And you're going, can't you see who you are in God? You would be so free, so happy, so full of you. Just be you and stop being this depressed and miserable. And you know, you see people living a life day after day after day where they're miserable, they hate their life, everything is horrible. And you see the life God has for them. And you wonder, why don't we go there? Why don't we just go live there, you know? So there's that revelation of who you are and who God is and what he can do. Then he said, your gates will be carbuncles, that is stones. And your borders that surround you with protection will be all kinds of beautiful jewels. All kinds. See, God just gave himself the whole spectrum of what every jewel is and every color is. And I love this, because now we're talking to somebody that's living in the spirit realm. God has built your house. You are living a different life based on living in the spirit realm, the kingdom of God realm. And now he says to you, all of your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. I love that verse. You hang on to that verse. And in righteousness you shall be established, and you will be far from oppression, and those who come against you will fall. And no weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises against you, judgment you shall condemn. Can't read my own writing. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. I love that he ends that by saying that our righteousness is of him. Two things put us in this realm: being a servant of the Lord, not just somebody who accepted him to escape hell, but a servant, a committed bond slave. God is my life. I live for him. He's the focus, the purpose, the whole reason that I live is God. When that becomes true for you, you will look at your life differently, because everything is really about eternity, not about somebody hurt my feelings today. And I got my feelings hurt last week, so I'm not discounting that. When your feelings are hurt, you can't do anything but sit around and need healing, you know, because you're hurting. And God wants to heal us. He's not telling us to be robots without feelings. We do have feelings. We do get hurt, and that affects us. But God picks us up and heals us. But still the commitment of my heart, even though my focus of the moment was, I am hurt, the commitment of my heart remains, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. God is my life. And these are the promises when God is your life. I want to share one other little thing here. I don't even know where it fits in that, but he told me to bring them both. So if you go to Proverbs 1:23, God says, turn at my reproof. It means just come back again. When I tell you you're headed in the wrong way, does not mean that you're going out to murder somebody, maybe. But he's saying, whoa, hold on, your thoughts are going the wrong way. Oh, stop, your emotions are headed into some deception. Oh, you're getting off focus and you're getting consumed with something of this life. Hold on, stop, and turn back. Come back again to where you were. Come back where you were mentally, emotionally, come back to God. And he says, if we will turn at his reproof, he said, behold, see. He says, turn around and see me. I will pour out my spirit unto you. That pour out means gushing forth, flowing. And I will make known to you my words. There's nothing I want more than for God to pour out his spirit into me and make known to me his words. I'd like to be so spiritual that I could say, all I want to do is just stand here and enjoy God and love God and worship God. But I'm a learning person. I like to teach. I like to learn. I want to know his words too. I want to know what you're thinking, what you're saying, what you're going to do, what are you talking about. I want to know what God is saying. I want him to talk to me. I want to know what his words are. So God will talk to you. He will reveal to you his heart, his counsel, his thoughts, sometimes his grief, sometimes his joy. How deeply, how intimately do we want to know him? It starts with turning at his reproof. Turning, and he says that how long, in verse 22, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. The simple just take everything for face value. Whatever I feel, whatever I see, whatever I think, that's just my reality. He said, how long will you love simplicity? And scorners gripe about what they see. They criticize, they condemn, they have to run their mouth all the time and be scornful. God says that if you will not hear and turn, then you have to eat the fruit of your own way. In other words, you have to learn the hard way. You're just going, but this is how it is, and you just keep going that way, and you keep getting the same results, you keep falling in the same pit. And he said, how long do you want to live like that? Just turn around and look at me. Just turn around and see me. And that brought me to a song. Some of you might never heard this song. I'm going to try to make it go on the thing because I've got it on YouTube. It's Turn Around and Look at Me. It's been done by so many groups. It was a love song, not a God song. But that came to my mind when I was reading this. And the words were just perfect. So I'm going to try to turn this as loud as I can go and play it. But in case you can't hear it clearly, the words are like, there is someone walking behind you. Turn around, look at me. There's someone watching your footsteps. Turn around, look at me. There's someone who really loves you, who will walk beside you. Someone who wants you, who will wait forever. Turn around, look at me. So just imagine God is saying this to you.
There is someone walking behind you. Turn around, look at me. There is someone watching your footsteps. Turn around, look at me. There is someone who really loves you. Here is my heart in my hand. Turn around, look at me. love and guide you. Turn around, look at me. I've been waiting, but I'll wait forever for you to come to me. Look at someone who really loves you. Turn around, look at me.
Is there any questions or comments about this? Honestly, if I be honest, there's times that I'm trying to turn around and look at God, and I'm wondering, you know, where'd you go? I'm looking, and you're not standing there, you know. I'm asking you to reprove me, and you're not doing it. And there's times that we're struggling through that, where we don't hear him, we don't know what he's saying, we still just don't feel right, and we don't know what's going on. That's where you hang on to the faith that everything God has said is true. And I don't feel it, but I have to stand on it today. That's just more trying of your faith. But these words are true. These words are true, that God said, I will pour out my spirit to you, and I will make my words known to you. You know, it's like if my dad said, yeah, I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to tell you something, and I keep just pounding on his den saying, tell me now, tell me now, tell me now. And he's going, I will talk to you in a minute, you know. So God will make known his words to us if we turn at his reproof. So, sometimes what he's reproving of us of is not as much what we're doing wrong, but what we're thinking wrong. Like maybe thinking he's mad at us, or thinking he's fed up with us, or, you know, sometimes it's the self-condemnation. Sometimes it's just judging yourself instead of forgiving yourself. You know, we had a long thing about the court thing, taking people to court and forgiving them. That is easier to make a choice for that than it is to choose to forgive yourself. We keep beating ourselves up. I know I was beating myself up for big mistakes I made raising my kids, and then saying, oh God, I know they're really hurt by what I did, and I can't fix it. It's too late, and what can I do? And he said, become their intercessor. Any time that God will say one of your children needs prayer, I'll stop everything and go find a place and just let him pray so that I release God to do what he needs to do in their life. So it's never too late, because God can time warp and go back and heal and fix things, you know. So it's never too late. And we can't beat ourselves up over yesterday. We can only look at tomorrow and live in the realm of God. I'm thinking in John 3, when he's talking about being born again, he said, if you are not born of the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. If you are not born of the Spirit, you can't enter into the kingdom of God, because he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. They're up there in the spirit realm. And until the Spirit of God lives in you, it is impossible for you to think in the spirit realm, because his Spirit is not in you yet. So we have to be born of his Spirit, and then we have to walk in his Spirit. As you have received him, so walk in him. Walking in the Holy Spirit, living in this other realm of reality. Father, we just put this time in your hands, and God, we invite you. If there is anything we're hanging on to, God, that's blocking us from living in your realm, your reality, in your truth, in your thoughts, if there's anything blocking us, God, make it clear that we might turn and just look at you. And not look at this world, not look at ourselves, but look at you. God, you ended our lesson by saying, you are our righteousness. We don't have any. All our righteous, even our righteousness is like filthy rags compared to you. But you are our righteousness. So it's not about how good we are. It's just about how good you are and how much we surrender our life to you and let your righteousness live through us. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We count on you to bring life to your word and to turn us, Lord, to see you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.